this is start of the Earth Coding recording. It's Sunday the 21st of September, and I'm in a forest close to Berlin, just preparing the materials for this Earth Code study. So this will be also continuing within the series, Sketches Towards an Earth Computer. Just preparing a few things here. We have the umbrella, we have lots of equipment, batteries, coils, this software-defined radio receiver, which we'll use for the mushroom or mycelial radio telescope experiment, the trowel, headphones, batteries, checking the battery here, and so on, and laptop. So what I'm first going to do before I talk a bit about Earth Coding in general is to bury the supplemental recorder. So this will be a truly underground recording. So in terms of Earth Coding, what we're really looking at is some kind of bootstrapping of what we could think of as a conventional computational device. Bootstrapping this by kind of, how to say, enforcing or setting into motion certain primarily electrochemical or energetic changes within the Earth. And in this case, obviously, looking more at like recording of the measurements, so some kind of, looking more at the display of the Earth computer, the measurement, what kind of outputs, what kind of Earth signals from Earth antennas, from Earth radio telescopes. So we're going to conduct a series of experiments today, looking at so-called natural radio, an attempt to use mushroom array as an array of antennas. So in front of me, well, one of them at the moment is upturned. In front of me, just emerging from the moss, two what look like russula, dark red caps. I'll take an image of these. So dark red cap russula, not sure it's the exact kind of russula, so they could be edible, they could be poisonous, but they could also be used as antennas. Following examples of kind of recent developments in radio astronomy, where you have these so-called small arrays, so it's kind of like multiple antenna arrays receiving signals in different phases. But before I do this, I should bury the and then using some kind of very fast computers, these varying signals over long distances are reformatted. So now this is the second recording going on, but I have to gaffer tape the so this is going into the something. And we're going to remember the so we're going to make a series of experiments concerning the Earth computer, kind of looking at measurement of electromagnetic signals within the Earth. That's what we're going to be concentrating on. So I just kind of VLF set up using a toroidal coil, rather. We have the software-defined radio experiment, and then we're looking at the Earth Code device, which was developed as part of the Earth Peak project, and the Earth spectral transmitter data device, which was developed for recent workshops. So, first of all, what I'll do is set up, I think, set up the speaker and the radio reception apparatus. We'll also look maybe later on at using the earth to make some kind of silicon. So first of all, maybe also read out some quotations which relate to the Earth Code project. Um, So the silicon will be some kind of thermite reaction. There's some animals moving in the background here. So first of all, as I was talking about, the primary act of earth coding is the bootstrapping of the earth towards some kind of computational device. I'm looking through my papers here. So the earth can already be conceived as some kind of computer, which is computing, we know what, some kind of infinite set of problems, and there have been attempts within kind of more conventional computing strands somehow to bend, for example, like slime mold computing, fluid computing, things like this, computing using DNA, to somehow bend these, what we could think of as, so-called natural processes towards some kind of conventional computational operation. Of course, within digital physics, we have the whole notion of the universe as a computer, dealing with information. Pine needles falling in my head, quite grey now. So, yeah, the idea with the Earth computer is very much to look at this imposition within the Earth. I have this short quotation here. So we have these kind of aphorisms, which one could think of, which also will be published as part of the Stack Frame Heap project with Jonathan Kemp. And this is a new aphorism, which is stating that the blind imposition on the Earth is of more interest and necessity than any attempt to understand the workings or origins of the Earth. So this is kind of setting the scene that somehow the Earth computer, in a wider context, is looking at this kind of enframing of the Earth, this kind of containment of the Earth. We also have these Earth containers within the sketches from Earth computer, this kind of setting of limits of the Earth and putting the Earth to work, extraction from the Earth, minerals which end up within technology, and the return of these minerals along with dangerous or active byproducts within the Earth as part of this kind of cycles of obsolescence, also this kind of eternal return idea. And so one of the first pieces of writing towards the Earth computer was kind of suggesting how the Earth computer within the forest could be enacted. So this is kind of also within the context of this recording. What we'll be doing today is, again, part of that process of sketches towards an Earth computer. So I'll start reading. A small area of the forest is set aside and cleared of large trees, plants, and undergrowth, yet carefully maintaining any remaining mycelium. Copper and zinc posts are driven into the ground, approximating some kind of grid structure, tapping telluric currents and acting as simple antennae, pulling stray electromagnetic emissions or even lightning strikes into the earth. An elaborate machinery is installed to transform nitrates and minerals from the earth into acids and to extract silver and other precious metals from the earth. Mixed with collected rainwater, resulting solutions and waste products from the extraction process are sprayed and leached out across the area. Shafts of light penetrating the edges of the cleared area equally code this embedded landscape. And we could equally pair this piece of writing with a quotation, which also quotes Edgar Allan Poe. I can't remember the exact Poe, but it's Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket, The Adventures of, I think. It's a wonderful piece of writing. Anyway, so this is from The Sedimentation of the Mind, Robert Smith, in 1966, which quotes Poe and goes thus: the shapes of the chasms themselves become verbal roots that spell out the difference between darkness and light. Poe ends his mental maze with a sentence: I have graven it within the hills, and my vengeance upon the dust within the rock. So this could be seen as an early example or an early precursor of earth coding, psychogeophysics, the work of Edgar Allan Poe. So what I'd like to start off with is looking perhaps at constructing some kind of earth antenna also, so we can hear kind of live sound rather than direct into the recorder, to set up the loudspeaker arrangement. That's what I'll try and do now. Here's the fixtures. Loudspeaker, lots of crocodile clips. But let's see how we can make this work. also listening to, of course, the computer. Listening kind of closely, so it's with this very like homebrewed speaker, little amplifier, and this toroidal VLF amplifier, earth radio, earth antenna setup at maybe 1 or 2 meters. We still have this kind of humming, which no idea where that could be coming from. But it's also, you can hear this kind of misty like this knisping sound is just some kind of atmospheric electromagnetic activity, so I'm not just looking at Earth radio, but we're looking really at how the Earth is somehow in some kind of sink, some kind of ground, you say, from Earth to these terrestrial, extraterrestrial signals. But we also make a pure recording. But we can also look at the other antennas, which were, well, not really strictly antennas, but more or less, which were working with measurements of the telluric current. Move that away. Telluric current, so these are underground, huge underground currents flowing through the earth, telluric resistance. Looking at how the Earth is also changing these currents by way of local geology, flora, fauna, so this whole kind of, how to say, this underground circuit, which is very much an open circuit. The introduction to Earth coding, which are for the exhibition, which I can also read out first. Bit of out of order, but Earth coding actively explores links between contemporary technology and the Earth, attempting to define a new form of land art and examining the following wide-ranging questions. How can the Earth as a process be tempted to compose software? Which we'll also look at with the Earth coding, the literal Earth code device, formed from the Earth boot device. What signals can be transduced from the Earth, which is what we're doing at the moment, using equipment of the Earth, which is not what we have, but more or less we have the speaker, copper, which was mined from the Earth, making the speaker, but also there's lots of kind of synthetic materials also, again, within the amplifier. So what signals can be transduced from the Earth using equipment of the Earth, revealing hidden process, and how can these signals be exposed and converted to boot code? So this obviously brings some kind of one pot feedback loop. So we have signals from the Earth, could be electromagnetic, let's say. So both pots are back into the Earth, software using what we call a dark interpreter. So this were the two digging. This were the two copper signals. So this is kind of perverse at the cybernetic 1 meter distance, connected, one could say, directly into the Earth code device.
So finally,
but the last question is, how can a dark interpreter, a shadow substrate, constructed
some quite interesting
enabling earthy instructions to recode that same landscape, which is more or less what I was saying before, how we can have this kind of feedback loop and a dark interpreter, which is both from Thomas de Quincey, is somehow called the interpreter, is this software which is placed within this feedback loop, which is kind of somehow mirroring terrestrial process.
And also amongst the moss, just like finding these kind of torn clumps of moss with these kind of funnel, funnel lichen. Funnel lichen, these kind of very light green funnels, I guess, or like little ear trumpets.
So I'm going to try with these pots. Let's first move the antenna. So this is what's happening when we freeze our antenna. Placing one of the pots within the earth. Again, this distance, maybe, I don't know, 2 meters, 1.5 between the two antenna points. Reattach the grass now, reattach. Okay, we need to pack maybe the earth a bit more tightly. And let's try with the other. So that was our last reaction, the last earth coating, some smoke, clearing the smell of sulphur in the air. It's only a tiny amount. And we have these kind of quite hard, obviously still very hot pieces. But I'm just going to try and bury the silicon, so we've returned. It's kind of like a closed circuit, a symbolic closed circuit, of course. Still very hot. But we've returned our this kind of technological process, we've returned to the Earth. Oh, let me hit that.